Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanant Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. When we want something from someone, it comes not only with a wanting, but it comes also with an expectation that I'm going to get what I want. So for example, I may buy a lottery ticket and really want to win the lottery. But when the numbers come and it's not my number, chances are I'm not going to throw a complete fit. I'm not going to need to go and, you know, drown my sorrows in a keg of beer or drugs. I mean, chances are, even though I wanted to win the jackpot, I wasn't really expecting that I was going to. And so the fact that I didn't win the jackpot has not created deep, deep pain for me inside. I don't now have to go see a therapist because I didn't win the jackpot. The dilemma with people we love is all too frequently, and it's not only people we love, it just tends to be, is what we want from them and our expectation of getting it is so strong that when we don't, we get hurt. So I may expect that other drivers on the freeway are going to be polite, but if some guy cuts me off, again, chances are not going to have a horrible fit or need to go for therapy or find myself, you know, drunk to oblivion that night because I got cut off on the freeway. Because even though I want people and I expect people to behave in a certain way, I'm not wrapped up in them doing it. People I don't know. So yeah, I expect people to be nice. I expect them to be polite. When they are, great. When they're not, it may be slightly annoying. But it's not going to be something that's going to hurt me deeply. When you have this overlap of someone I love, something I want from them, and something I expect and feel entitled to receiving from them, that's your recipe for disaster. Interestingly, it's also a way of knowing that you don't actually really love them. It means that the love is much more tainted, you could say, by a contractual agreement. I will love you if you act in a certain way. I will love you if you fulfill my expectations that I feel entitled to having them fulfilled. Because love doesn't actually require anything of the object of our love, if it's real love. If you like someone, if you appreciate someone, if you respect someone, all of those things tend to be kind of contingent upon what they do. Oh, I really respected this person, then they did something, I no longer respect them. Liked this guy, he did something, no longer like him. But love, if it's real, love is of the essence of who you are. Love is not how you behave. how you act, what you say. Love is of the soul, of the essence, of the spirit to the soul, to the essence, to the spirit. So you may not appreciate, not like, not accept someone's behavior, their actions. But that wouldn't stop you from loving them on the core of who they are. If that love were what we call unconditional love, which is the highest form of love. So the reason that we get hurt is I love you. I want something from you even more strongly. I need something from you, and I expect that I'm going to get it. Now, what is it that we want from our loved ones? If you ask most of us, what do you want from your loved ones? Most of us will say things like, oh, I just want them to be caring and respectful and nice and, you know, kind of do their share of the housework, maybe a little bit of give and take and... But really what we want, if you look very deep and you're really honest with yourself, has to do with filling some hole that you have inside. So meaning, the type that's going to hurt me if they don't do it. If I'm moving through the world with a hole inside me, a feeling inside me that I'm not worthy enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough or smart enough, or pure enough. And I fall in love. And that person I love tells me, you are beautiful, you are brilliant, you are the best, you are everything. Well, look what's happened. Suddenly that hole is filled. Suddenly where I wasn't pretty enough, smart enough, worthy enough, pure enough, suddenly this being has filled me. I need that from them. I expect it from them. I feel entitled to it from them. They gave it to me once, maybe more than once. It felt so good. That's how I fell in love. I found my soulmate. I finally feel whole. I wasn't whole before. Now you have filled me. The dilemma becomes that person has their own karmic package. They're going through their own stuff. And when there are moments in their life in which from my perspective, they're not giving me what I need that makes me feel beautiful, smart, worthy, whole, complete. I feel hurt because now I'm face to face with my whole again. But it's not just the same hurt that I had before I met them, which was just kind of a low-grade, pervasive, unnameable sense of lack. But now it's a very specific sense of you have taken something from me. You've taken something from me, and that's where we feel hurt. It's as though literally a part of me has been taken from you. But it hasn't been. Nobody can take anything from you. All they can do is stop filling up holes that they used to fill. But that's not what the point of a relationship should be anyway. When people get married here and Pooja Swamiji gives blessings, he always says, you know, in the science of math, 1 + 1 = 2. He says, but in the science of love, 1 + 1 = 1. Not half plus half is one. It's not, I'm going into this half, I need your other half to feel full. If I'm only half, I can never really love someone. I need too much from them. My love is too contingent upon them continuing to treat me a certain way, to behave in a certain way, to live a certain way. And so there's always fear. It may be subconscious, it may be low grade, but it's there. That, oh my God, what if they stop? What if they stop loving me? What if they stop treating me like this? What if they stop? And this is where we find ourselves suffocating love out of relationships. Killing relationships that actually could have been vibrant and beautiful because of our fear. And this is where it's so important, if you're walking the path of relationship in your life, to make sure that you go into every relationship whole, so that you don't need the other person to act a certain way, to be a certain way in order for you to feel full. So that if they do something that isn't what you like, it doesn't feel like they've pulled you out of you. That's where it's 1 + 1 = 2. So each of us needs to figure out in our own spiritual practice, how do I fill my holes? How do I realize that the holes aren't even there? The holes are part of my false identity because somewhere, sometime, someone did something, said something that hurt and that left a crater of pain in me. Never feel like you've been hit by a meteor, you know, that left really this crater of pain in me. And I move through the world with that. But that crater belongs not to the truth of today. The crater belongs to what happened then, because the truth is, the nature of our beings is much more like a river than like a mountain. You drop something in a river, and the second it's gone. And that's actually the nature of our physical bodies. It's the nature of our mind. It's the nature of our thoughts. Everything of us, whether it's our skin cells that I was talking about last night that slough off every couple days, we're totally regenerated. Whether it's the thoughts, the emotions in our mind that are instantaneous milliseconds of electrical and chemical patterns that are gone a millisecond later, it's over. It's a pebble in a river. And if we're still walking around with that hole, what it means is that we're living in the past, not the present. And this is where every practice of mindfulness, of awareness, is so essential. And it doesn't matter what religious tradition you go into it with. It doesn't matter what school or teaching you go into it with. But this practice of be here now is so essential, because in this moment, I'm whole. In this moment, I'm full. And if I'm experiencing anything other than that in this moment, it means I'm not fully here. It means I'm in a pattern of the past. And so when we meditate, you know, it's just, we just keep bringing the awareness back to the breath. Why? Because the breath is right here, right now. You can't breathe 10 years ago's breath. You can't breathe tomorrow's breath. You can't get one breath ahead of yourself. Can't skip a breath and go 10 breaths ahead. The only breath you can breathe is this one right here, right now. You miss this one, you don't get another one. So whatever practice you can do to keep yourself here is a practice that enables you to realize the wholeness and the fullness and the perfection of the moment. And that is the only inoculation against getting hurt by people today. Because that which hurts today is because of something that hurt in the past. It's very rare, I don't want to say it never happens, but it's very, very, very rare that we have a deep, deep hurt in the present that doesn't sting so badly and hurt so badly because it's pulling the wound off a hurt from the past. We're each walking through the world with different patterns from our past. And when something happens, that's why you could have 20 people in a room. One person does something or says something. 19 people, it's as though it never happened. One guy or one lady is so hurt by it that they walk out of that room steaming. They can't sleep. They can't eat. I can't believe it. And they're saying to other people, did you hear them? Can you believe it? And everybody else is like, yeah, so what? They can't understand what you're so upset about. You can't understand why they're not upset. It's because what just happened in that room pulled a scab off of one person's old wound. Whatever pattern we're walking through the world with, those are going to be the things that hit us. And that's why we need to heal those, to move beyond them. This is where the practice of forgiveness is so important. If I want to not be hurt today, I have to forgive those who have hurt me yesterday. You cannot have one without the other. I cannot move through my life in the present and the future without being hurt, without forgiving those who hurt me in the past. Because if I don't, I'm carrying those wounds of the past, which means inevitably somebody is going to do something that's going to poke a hole right into one of those wounds from the past. And I'm going to get hurt. And this is why we forgive the past. I always say it's not about condoning what people did. It's about being free to move forward. My only way to stop being hurt in the present is to forgive the past. If we can do that and stay present, in our wholeness, in our fullness, in the love of who we are, we won't get hurt. Doesn't mean we'll like what everybody does. Doesn't mean we're going to approve of what everybody does. Doesn't mean we lose our ability to discipline as parents or administrators. But it means that nothing that someone does actually deeply hurts us. And that's the only way.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM-FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, You are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by Rain and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. How do we maintain the attachment to the relationship, but be detached from the hurt and the feelings? Beautiful. We attach ourselves to that which isn't constantly fluctuating. So people's actions, people's moods are constantly fluctuating. Right? Otherwise, why do we ask each other, how are you, 10 times a day? Right? I once heard a beautiful saint. Someone said to him, how are you? And he looked at them and he said, you asked me that this morning. And they said, but Swamiji, it's now evening time. And he said, well, and what in the world makes you think that I would be different in the evening from how I am in the morning? But for most of us, you absolutely could be different from the evening to the morning. How are you in the morning? Great. How are you in the evening? Oh my God, what a day and this and that, right? Couple hours later, oh, how are you? Wonderful. I had a nice drink. I went out. I've relaxed. Happy hour. That's a product of the constant fluctuations of our mood based on things that have nothing to do with actually who we are. Chemistry of my mind. 1 minute one way, ingest artificial chemicals, it's changed. My experience of myself has changed. Somebody does something to me, I didn't like it, my experience of myself has changed. Oh, I was great. Then you came around, now I'm in a bad mood. You're the reason I'm upset. So if we're attached to that ever fluctuating moods, it's going to be a rocky road. When the mood is what you want, when the behavior is what you want, you're going to feel great. You're going to feel, oh, I love this person. When the mood isn't what you want, the behavior isn't what you want, you're going to feel like, oh, God, shadi kyun kiya maine, why, you know, should have not gotten married, should have not had kids, should have, whatever it may be. The problem is that your attachment is to the outer layer, the superficial layer. Attach yourself instead to the soul, to the spirit, to the essence of that being. Imagine that you're looking at an ocean, so there's waves on the surface, but in the depths there's no waves. So attach yourself to the depths of that being. And it's a beautiful practice because your external self, your surface layer self, your moods can't be attached to their soul. My mood, my personality gets attached to your moods and your personality. That's how you can ruin my mood. If I'm going to attach to your soul, your spirit, your essence, your consciousness, I have to do it from that place in me that is soul, spirit, essence, consciousness. So I have to drop down. And it's a beautiful practice when you're with your loved one. And it's much easier to do when they're having a mood you like, when they're acting in ways you like. So practice it at that time. Don't wait for them to be in a way that you're upset. Practice when you look at them, instead of thinking, oh, God, you're so wonderful. You helped me with the dishes tonight. You brought me chocolate. You did this for me. You did that. Instead of that, try to look in their eyes and see whether you can connect soul to soul. Try to experience them as your soul as you look at them. Don't tell them what you're doing. Just let it be inside. As you see them walk across the room, as you see them sit down, just instead of thinking, oh God, he's wearing that ripped t-shirt again. I've told him 10 times to throw out that t-shirt. Tell him when he's asleep, I'm going to throw out that t-shirt. Instead of that, can you just experience the presence of that other being? A soul. Can you experience yourself in them? And what'll happen if you can begin that practice is several things. First of all, it's going to make you have to constantly live in a deeper level of yourself. So it's an incredible gift to yourself. Because every moment you remember to connect with their soul, you have to drop into soul. You have to get out of the humming and buzzing of your mind. You drop in. It's going to make your relationship, even when it's good, much better. Because it's not going to be good contingent upon the things that each one is doing. It's going to be good based on soul to soul. And then when the other one does things that aren't what you like, again, it doesn't mean that as parents or administrators or whatever it may, teachers, that we suddenly condone all behavior. But it means that we're able to love the being, to stay connected to that being. Even while we may say, you know, I would really appreciate it if, or here's the correct way of doing that, or you'll remember we had a deal, no homework, no cookies, so sorry. Till I see the homework, no cookies. But I'm not upset, I'm not hurt, I'm not attached. And the child understands I'm still being loved. I'm just also being disciplined. But I haven't lost mom's love. And everyone else you're in a relationship with doesn't feel like the love is contingent upon how they behave. They understand, I'm being loved, who I am. So try to attach to that, from that place in you. It's an incredible gift to yourself, and it's an incredible gift to give them.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mike Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation. Some religions say they're the only true religion. Some people say, follow me and I will set you free. Is there one true path to the divine? The only universal transcending all barriers of religion and culture and language, the only path that is true and universal is the inner path. Every path that's true is an inner path. But there's lots of ways to get there. All that matters is you go within. Now, some of us go within first by going without. So maybe we attend our places of worship, regardless of what our religion may be. We worship the divine in the name or the form, whether we say Krishna, whether we say Ram, whether we say Shiva, whether we say Jesus Christ, or we say Allah, we say Adonai. I mean, there's so many different ways of speaking to, speaking about, connecting with the divine. So maybe we begin by looking outward. But if it's a true path, even if you begin by speaking out and looking out, it's going to take you within. Ultimately, all of the paths are going to take you to an experience of the divine within yourself. You could also begin just by going within. It's, for some people, it's easier to begin by looking without. For some, it's easier to begin by going within. There's all kinds of characteristics in the world. We have all kinds of histories, all kinds of experiences. There are some people who, due to what they've experienced in their life, due to how they were raised, have sort of allergies, you could say, to organized religion. No problem. God does not require that you tick a box on a form. I'm this one or that one or this one. But for some people, to experience the divine within, it's much easier to begin in front of an image, a form, whether it's literally in front of you or whether you're holding it in your mind, of the divine, that as you love that form of the divine, it turns on love inside you, and now the lover, the beloved, become one. So I may begin as the lover over here with the beloved there, and there's this thing called love that I'm feeling. But as I experience it, as I love and I love and I love, ultimately, the lover, the beloved, love, it all just becomes nothing but love. Nothing exists but love. But it began by me sitting down and envisioning in my mind, or actually beholding in front of me, a particular chosen name, form, image of the divine. So that's great. If that works for you, wonderful. If lying on your back and looking up at the stars and experiencing the amazingness, the infinite nature of the creator of this, who pervades the creation and therefore pervades you, and you experience it like that, great. Doesn't matter. What matters is that they take you in. That's the main thing. Every path that works is a path that's going to take you in. So don't worry about, do I have the right path? Do I have a good path? Do I have the expedited path? Do I have, you know, the fast track? The only way to fast track your connection to God is, as we were talking about last night, to surrender. Apisko band kai dijega. Dhanyavad. Is to surrender the ego. Because that's actually what's keeping you from connecting fully with the divine. Otherwise, God with form, God without form, God with name, God without name, don't worry. We're here on the banks of Ganga. And the example for me that's so simple and so beautiful and so pertinent is Ganga's blessings shower us when we have a bath in her waters. They shower us even when you just come to her banks. But let's talk for a moment about having a bath in her waters. So here we are on the banks of a 2,500-kilometer flowing river who has two banks. So we're on one bank. There's another opposite bank. Along this 2,500 kilometers, you could really think of it as 5,000 kilometers, because 2,500 on this side, 2,500 on that side. There's an innumerable, almost, number of ways you can get into Ganga. So many different ashrams, so many different ghats, different steps, different ramps, different beaches, so many different ways you can get in. And it doesn't matter. There's no scripture I know of, no teaching I know of, no saint or sage or guru I know of who says, fast track to liberation, this got, I'll take you. Doesn't matter, just get in. Any got, whatever's closest to you, whatever's easiest for you, whatever works for you, just get in. Same way with God. Whatever works for you, just connect. For those for whom a name, a form helps us focus, great, use it. For those for whom the idea of a specific name, form, religious thing makes us bristle, no problem. Meditate on love. Meditate on the stars in the sky. Meditate on the infinite nature of yourself. Meditate on how many times your physical body has changed form since you've known it. We've been saying I and me since we were about two. That's what makes them the terrible twos. It's when we suddenly learn no. You learn that I've got this thing and it's autonomy and it's a voice and it's me and I can use it. And look how I can make mom's face turn all red. And look what I can do. That's when we start saying I and me. Now you think, how many times has your body changed shape since you were two? How many times have the cells of your body regenerated? Well, the skin cells do it every few days. The organs take 7, 8, 9 years. Meditate on what is it that has stayed constant? Who's the I that as the body keeps changing? If there's not one cell with you today that was there when you were two, who's the I? Meditate on that. Meditate on what it is that has created such an extraordinary system that keeps you breathing even when we can't remember to breathe for the 5 minutes of our meditation. the 5 minutes that we've dedicated, I'm going to meditate. We always say that's bare minimum. If you can do longer, great. But even if you only got 5 minutes, meditate for 5 minutes. And what you'll find amazingly is, even in 5 minutes, the mind wanders. So even for 5 minutes, I cannot stay focused on my breath. Who keeps breathing me? Meditate on that. So the point is, there's an infinite number of ways in. I've just given you half a dozen in a few minutes. Whatever works. But make sure it's an inner path. It can be connected to the divine outside, of course, because there is no distinction between the self and the divine. That's what yoga is, that union of the small self to the supreme. That's actually what yoga is. So it connects us to what seems like outer, but make sure that it's focused on the inner. That's how you're actually going to have the experience. If it's a path that is singularly focused on something outside of you, that is separate from you, that is judging you, that is angry at you, that is rewarding and punishing you, it's going to be very difficult to connect to that. That feels much more like a school teacher or an angry Santa Claus than like the divine to whom we connect. So make sure that it's a path that also takes you in to know that that which you're experiencing out here also exists inside. That's the mantra of So Hum that I gave in the meditation. Other than Om, it's probably the simplest mantra to chant. But the meaning is so deep. I am that, capital T that, everything. I'm everything. So if your path takes you in, it's the right path. Keep going in, deeper and deeper and deeper. And eventually you're going to realize there is no inner, there is no outer, it's just God. But you have to start walking in one of the directions. And again, begin by focusing outward, no problem. Love that divine. It's going to awaken the love in you. It's going to connect you to the divine within. Start by going within, no problem. It's going to make you love all of that which is out here. Because when you really connect with the divine within, you fall in love with the creation. The way I always say, we fall in love with even really bad pictures that kids we love have drawn, right? If you've ever loved a 2 or 3 or 4 year old who scribbles for you on construction paper, well, it's precious to you. Only because you love the one who made it. To someone else, it's meaningless scribbles. But because you love the artist, we love the art.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
He says, you know, on a spiritual path, we want to go with what God's will is. But also, of course, we try to align ourselves with that, to enact our plans, to make things happen, to be tools in God's hands. He says, why not just go with the flow? So it's a very subtle balance, but it's a very essential balance because it's the balance between living a wise life and living a lazy life. Because a lazy person can go with the flow and give it sort of this stamp of spirituality. I'm just going with whatever God's plan is. You know, I sat down on the couch today and a crane hasn't come through my roof and lifted me up. Therefore, I guess I'm supposed to just keep sitting on the couch all day. Because clearly, if God had wanted me to get off my rear end, he would have sent a crane through my roof to pick me up, right? So it's this very subtle distinction. When we are grounded and anchored and clear in our minds, we actually know the answer to this more than we let on. These questions tend to come up when what I know is the right thing isn't easy. And at times like that, it's a lot easier, especially when we're on a spiritual path, to say, hey, forget it, why fight? Let God do something about it. But you remember, for me, and those of you who come to satsang a lot or watch it online, you'll know, I take my inspiration from two main places, scriptures and nature. Those are the two places that I feel God speaks to us. A, God has given us the scriptures. B, God has created nature. So whenever you're in a bind, either look at what have we been told in our scriptures or how does nature work. So if you look at the Mahabharata, and we don't have time in here to go obviously into the entire story, but there's one core aspect of this. Before the war of the Mahabharata, before the battle in the midst of which Lord Krishna gives the Bhagavad Gita, there were a lot of attempts to get Duryodhana to behave appropriately, to do the right thing. It wasn't that immediately the Pandav said, all right, we'll show you. Everything was done to get Duryodhana to behave appropriately, to behave dharmically, to do the right thing. Even Lord Krishna tried. And we come to a point in which he basically says to Arjuna, and then of course the Gita gives it to us in 700 verses, you must fight this battle. And you must fight this battle in order to bring back dharma, to bring back righteousness. Okay? Now, it wasn't easy. It wasn't fun. And you could look at it from this perspective and say, well, going with the flow would have been, we get nothing, you get everything. A dharma, lack of righteousness, continues to rule the land. Dharma gets wiped out. But we sit relatively comfortably, of course, in our land of nothing, but nonetheless, we sit relatively comfortably, at least we don't fight. We go with the flow. But Lord Krishna makes it very clear that is not an option. You don't get to sit this one out. You don't get to say, Hare Krishna, aap to karo, aap to bhagwan hai. Aap kuch karo. Bhagwan Krishna tells us, you stand up and fight this war. I'm with you. I'm driving your chariot. When you need it, I'm there for you. But you've got to fight this battle. And for me, that's the clearest answer to this question. Because going with the flow would have been simply for the Pandavas to say, all right, I guess God doesn't want us to have anything. I guess God wants that adharma, unrighteousness, darkness should just continue to prevail and grow. Eventually we'll die, and whatever God wants to happen, that'll happen. We're just going to go with the flow. But the entire Gita is a scripture on that's not an option. You don't get to sit this one out. Therefore, in our lives, we must do what we know is right. The dilemma, the very subtle dilemma, is to separate the ego that says, because I think this is what's right, it is right, from the real inner divine voice. And that's the subtleness that only our own spiritual practice and the guru can give us. Because the ego says, I'm always right. This isn't just my opinion. Right? And people say, well, all right, that's your opinion. I have a different opinion. But the ego says, no. This is not just my opinion. I'm right. You're wrong. And then we get into fights. And you achieve nothing. So the subtleness is to know, where is it my ego? Where is it an inner calling? But also the subtleness is to know, where is my duty to convince others versus where is my duty simply to live it? Because living my path does not mean convincing others. So when I know something is right, I live it. Again, may not be easy, may not be fun, people may not agree with me. But if I know deep within me that this is not my ego, this is not my attachment, this is not my ignorance, that this is what I know is right. My duty, my dharma, is to live that, not to convince others. So that's a lot of where you get conflict, is I know it's right, I therefore have to convince you. No, you don't. Let everyone connect with their own inner voice. I always say, until and unless God comes down and says to you, here's a notebook, here's a pen, could you do me a favor and, you know, be my secretary for a while because I need you to help me. Until and unless God does that, we can be pretty sure that laws of karma are doing what they need to do, that God is connecting with everyone in the way that God is supposed to be connecting with everyone, that we are not the spiritual police, we're not the moral police, we're not the karmic police. We don't need to be the ones moderating the relationship between people and their karma, people and ethics, people and values, people and God. So we live it.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week. And I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio.